Our lesson today, the last one here in January, and in 5 Sundays it goes by fairly quickly. But we're talking today, wisdom leads to confession of sin. Of course, we missed last Sunday, and I'm going to hit on that just a little bit this morning. Last week's lesson was wisdom exemplifies the love of Christ. And I looked at last, when I studied last Sunday's lesson, of course we didn't know we wasn't going to be here, but there were some things in last Sunday's lesson that we need to understand so we can understand today's lesson, I think. And I know you understand what wisdom is. I know none of you have made a mistake ever in your life. And we're all smart as we can be, and we are perfect people. But me? So we're already in trouble, aren't we? You know, last Sunday's lesson talked about proper treatment of our friends, our enemies, and ourselves. And Jesus taught us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. I got a problem. Sometimes I can't do it, and it's sin. And I have to ask for forgiveness. And I don't like it when I don't love somebody. I feel terrible when I don't love somebody. And I get mad at myself. I know y'all don't do that, but I do. And it's tough. And then we think about, who are my friends? And why do I think I have an enemy? And when I studied that, I thought, boy, am I the only one like that? Well, I don't think so. I think we all are going to encounter some opposition in our life. And how we handle that is going to exemplify to that person who we are. Not only to that person, but to God. Who am I? Why? And our enemies oppose us. Jesus had enemies. Yeah, he used wisdom when he dealt with them. He didn't minimize the situation. He didn't exaggerate the situation. He was very frank about it. And he rebuked those who sought to derail his ministry. And then, all said and done, he died for his enemies. He gave his life for his enemies. Well, it's a great lesson for us. It offers us a great lesson in dealing with those who oppose us. Whether you like it or not, we must live in this world that we're in. It's not perfect. And he never let the attitude of the people around him corrupt his life. Did y'all hear that? He never let the attitude of the people around him corrupt his life. Are we to be the same way? I believe so. Well, just a little bit on that lesson last week, and we realize that maybe we do have enemies, but we realize there's some needs. They may be hungry. They may be thirsty. Do we say, I'm not going to help supply their needs. I'm not going to do anything. That's not biblical. As Christians, we're to deal with everyone in love. And I know it's hard. I'm not talking just about me or about you. I'm just sharing some things here from last Sunday's lesson. God will reward us for our conduct. Boy, what a blessing it is to do something for somebody who's less fortunate. That's great. He won't reward us because we hate someone or we're wanting to hurt someone. He rewards us because we love them and we sought to help them, even though maybe they weren't lovable by the world's standards. Maybe they've said something about you or to you or about the Lord or about the church. So even Jesus had enemies. Everyone has enemies. But what happened? Jesus died for his enemies. He gave his life for his enemies. Where am I in this equation? I don't know what I know about today's me. And when you or I oppose Christ, and we say, no, God, Jesus, I'm not doing this. When we oppose him, we're really opposing ourselves. Because we know what he wants us to do, and we're opposing ourselves because what Jesus wants us to do. When we love our enemies and treat them as we want to be treated, we're not failing. We'll be successful eternally in dealing with those life situations. So it gets us up to today. To wisdom leads to confession of sin. If you want to follow along, I've got some things underlined in the first look here that the book of Proverbs talks about and the sayings. And we're going to read a little bit there in a few minutes about it, but how do we deal with things? Do you believe the Word of God is timeless? Do you believe it's forever and ever and ever? Or do you hear someone say, that don't apply to me? That was back in the old days. It's different now. You had that conversation with anybody? Have you watched the lifestyle of something going on? You say, why in the world? What is going on? We don't think. Sometimes we might think, but we don't think sometimes that the Word of God applies to us today. Oh, I can get by with this. I can do this. I agree with the writer here today on page 60, the second paragraph, the second sentence. The wisdom of following God is found in the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, not only in wise words. The Spirit of God through the Word of God must first work in our hearts and transform us into the image of Jesus before we can be successfully guided by these proverbs. I mean, there's just so much in this lesson today that speaks to me. Godly wisdom is not needed to be a success in a sinful world. You can be a success in this world and not have any godly wisdom. I can tell you now. You can be successful. In fact, many of those the world considers successful are dishonest, deceitful, and disrespectful. Amen? I mean, brothers, some of you are on the trail, some of you out working outside Ashe County, and you can find it in Ashe County. But they will tell you exactly what you want to hear in a deceitful way for whose glory? We have to be aware of that in our life. Have you got values? Well, Ralph, why are you asking these people here at Turk? Yes, I know you got values. We got values. Do you think they're tested? Mine are. Brothers, I see some heads back there waving their hands. Are your values tested? Man. I mean, you can be successful in the eyes of other men, but they're complete failures in the eyes of God. You can be successful in the eyes of other men, but they are failures in the sight of God. Who do you want to follow? Wisdom will lead you down the trail. It'll take you in the right path if you will let it. Hey, the wicked have a kind of hope. Our lesson talks about this. But it is a false hope that is centered on having more of the world but never enough of God. I've thought that. I like the next paragraph on page 61. Judgment is not a jury trial. Hey, judgment is not a jury. We're not going to bring this before the church today and see what you think about it or what I think about it. Right? Who tells you that? Who gives you the answer quick as you start asking the question? You don't have to wait for 2 days or 3 days for the jury to go out and come back and bring a decision in, do you? Wisdom. This is what we're talking about. Wisdom begins when we allow Jesus to come in our hearts and continues as we allow the Holy Spirit to rule our lives. I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm still trying to let him have full control. How about you, David? How about you, Bobby? I'm still trying to let him have full control. And I can't look for you to help me much. I got to look where? Who do you got to look to, Cindy? You got to look to the Lord. Sometimes I still think I can make it happen. Do you, Mike? Well, the importance of the Word of God it talks about here. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Dana, I see you looking. You know, we understand what this is saying today. He that covereth his sins shall what? Not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. There's three ways of dealing with sin here. Our lesson talks about it. We can cover our sin. First is ignoring it. Second paragraph, page 61. First is ignoring sin and turning our ears away from hearing the law. This means that we refuse to listen to the admonitions, which is the direction of the Word of God. Many ways to avoid dealing directly with sin. One of them is to not listen to the truth. Have you ever heard this one? I don't want to hear it. I don't need to hear that. They know it's the truth. On page 62, number two is the second paragraph. People deal with sin by covering it or pretending that it does not exist. Isaiah pronounced woe on those who called evil good and good evil. We live in a day where evil actions are justified. People invent clever and bland labels for sin and excuse their evil conduct because everyone else is doing the same thing. It won't work. Sin may be popular, but it's still wrong. It may sound better to our ears to misspeak than to tell a lie, but we are doing the same thing. Having an affair may sound better to us than committing adultery or fornication, but these are the same old sins in new clothes. Call it what you want to. I believe everyone in here understands what sin is. Everybody in this room knows what sin is. Right, Joe? Everybody knows what sin is. You can call it whatever you want to, but it's sin. Oh, it's a new lifestyle. Oh, that's the old days. The Word of God hadn't changed. Number three, the third paragraph down. The third way men deal with sin is by indulging themselves in it more and more. The reasoning is that if we are already sinners, what does it matter if we sin a little or a lot? The reasoning is deadly and it will destroy those who pursue it. The further we go down the wrong road, the further we must go to get back. The best time to deal with sin is when we are tempted. Well, page 63, the tragedy of ignoring the word of God. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. A man's pride, skips down to verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. It talks about some things here. The first step, second little paragraph, was reproof. This was not a passing thing that only happened once. It was done often. The sinner had ample opportunity to repent of his sin and place his faith in the Lord. Listen to this. He may have been reproved by his parents or by a preacher, even a judge, but this person had ample opportunity to know the truth. It is important to note that destruction did not suddenly fall on the innocent or the ignorant. I agree with that. How many times have you been to court on the same thing? How many times has the Lord forgiven you for the same thing? It's time we get it right, isn't it? I mean, who? Mercy. The second. Pardon me? I know, Mike. Yeah, the second step is the hardening of the neck. It talks about this language describes the reaction many have to a message they do not want to hear. You've heard about the stiff neck, haven't you? Their neck stiffens and their heart rejects what it does not want to know. I'm getting tired of hearing it. Don't tell me that anymore. How many times did my mom and dad have to tell me something? Well, after about two is usually the belt time. Oh, we're not going to whip them anymore. We're not going to. Oh, that's not going to be good. Listen, I do. Yes. I do. I know, brother. I understand. How many of you had a spiritual whipping? Amen. We don't like that one either. Do we know it's coming? Sure, we know it's coming. I mean, who we think we're kidding? Satan is a liar, and he'll tell us that there are no consequences to our sin or that we should ignore the warning of God. The absolutely worst response we can have to our sin is to harden our hearts to the appeal of the gospel and cut ourselves off from the saving grace of God. I don't know what I'd do without the Lord. I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. I agree 100%. Jesus has enemies, us. That's who I'm saying. Jesus has enemies, us. Who does not? That's right. I agree with you. I mean, I agree 100%. It's our own choosing. It's our own road we take. And then we wonder why things are not going well, is we're not honoring the word of God. And there's no remedy. For a bad decision. The decision's made. We make the decision. And we must accept the consequences of our choice. Please. I believe the enemy is the choice that I make. The choice that I make is the enemy. It's not you. You're not my problem. The choice that I make is my problem. That's where it's at. And we've got to, you say, well, once the decision's made, I believe I'll change it. Well, you better change it, or you're going to have to accept the consequences of it. Right? I mean, we're talking about a spiritual thing here. When life is over, our destiny is determined. It's determined. When it's determined, there's no changing it. We're going to lift our eyes, heaven or hell. We made the decision. This seems harsh, I know. This is what our book said, but it is the truth. We're talking about wisdom. That's the title of our lesson today. We have to deal with it honestly. You can't blame it on me. I can't blame it on you. You can't blame it on the pastor. You can't blame it on, I don't care. It's you. It's me. Right? We make the decision. Sometimes the pride, our lesson talks about, pride will keep us from admitting our sin and dealing with our iniquity. You can blame it on anybody in the world you want to blame it on. You may say, well, I'll get with this crowd. They're going to be good. They're going to lift me up, and they're going to talk good about me, and they're going to applaud me, and I'm going to give a little more to this offering. I'm going to be a little more involved in church. I'm going to be okay. I don't know. You got to deal with the Lord. You got to deal with yourself. But those who humble themselves, no matter what man may say, God's praise is the key. God's word is the key. So those who reject the truth of God's word and seek partnership with other sinners are betraying their own souls. This is on page 64. This is not me. I agree. There's nothing more precious to God than a human soul. He don't care about your bank account. He don't care about your car. He don't care about the clothes you wear. The soul is what God's involved with. That's who he is. That's why he sent Jesus. And you know there's some evil men that hate their souls. They don't like what's going on in their soul. They're trying to find a cure for it. Drugs, alcohol, sex, money, houses, cars. You can't find it. It's not there. The safety of trusting the Lord. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's, listen to this, ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. I don't care what Last Shepherd says about it. It comes from the Lord. Right, brother? I don't care how good a dad you are at home. It comes from the Lord. I don't care how good you've been, how much money, it don't matter. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the just. And he that is upright in the way of abomination, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. The choice to ignore God and his word has dire consequences. But the choice to trust and follow the Lord also has a great and good consequence. The fear of man may be like falling into a trap, but putting our trust in the Lord will keep us safe. Once again, notice that once you make the choice, God takes charge of the outcome. There was an example in our Sunday school book. I was thinking about Grandfather Mountain. If I go up on the swinging bridge and step up on that guardrail and step off of there, I say, I'm going to jump, what happens? I can't stop. What did you say, Angel? I'm sorry. Well, let me ask you another. Let's just talk about it real simple. Let's just ride a Ferris wheel. And we're just excited and all that stuff. And we say, when we get on the top, I'm going to jump out of my seat. Let's just say this. I'm just never going back to the house of God again in my life. I've had enough. Them people are crazy. The word is not true. It don't affect me. You think any of that's going on? Yes, it is. In the day and age we live, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hadn't changed. So in many ways, let's look at the last paragraph. I think this is each of us, and I think everybody needs to read this right here with me. The last paragraph on 65. In many ways, sinful conduct and right conduct are mutually exclusive. They are so in the life of an individual. We cannot sin and be righteous at the same time, although such actions can be close together in our lives. I'm going to stop right there and give you an example. I should have stopped and went in to check on those people. They've not been to church in 2 days, 2 weeks. Now, I'm talking about this is me. You've never had this experience. Yet, I just look and I say, they'll be at church Sunday. I'll see them next Sunday. Well, I know what I should have done. Exactly what the unction of the Holy Spirit told me to do was stop and check on them. But I went on. In the same way that an unjust man is an abomination to the just, a man who is upright is an abomination to the wicked. Neither understands the other. This does not mean that upright people hate those who are wicked. Jesus loves sinners. But he was a convicting presence to those who were evil. I hope everybody here today knows Jesus. I hope everybody here. But if you don't, he's a convicting presence in your life. He's a convicting presence in your life. You agree with that? Does everybody agree with that? He's a convicting presence. That's right. He loves sinners. He loves us today. But he was a convicting presence to those who were evil. They sought to destroy him because in their hearts they knew that he was right and that they were wrong. Amen? Lord, I know you're right. I just don't want to do it now. Give me one more chance, Lord. I promise you I'll do it the next time. Jesus loved them and died so that they could be saved from their sins. I've read this 2 or 3 times. This paragraph, Billy, and it convicts me every time I read it. Every time I read this paragraph, it's convicted me. So in finishing, the final word. Men attempt to hide their sins, but the only success we truly have is that we hide them from ourselves. Our lives are an open book to others, and they surely are to God. God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. Boy, this will get you. A wise person will admit his sin and find the remedy for sin in Jesus Christ. Jesus did not die to make good people a little better or improve the lives of those who are going to die soon. He came to save sinners. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again that all people everywhere could hear the wonderful promise of the gospel. Trust in him and be saved. In this way, sin is eternally dealt with and the demands of a just God are met. Our souls are saved. Amen. Any comment? Anybody? Please feel free. I don't hope not.
I believe everybody's attention is getting there, but we got to do what it takes to get there, and we're trying to have Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. We all know what the word wisdom is. I want more of it, don't you? I want.
It's not smart.
No, that's just, it's not smart. Anybody else?
The word hate actually comes from the devil. That's why you should not hate your enemy. Don't hate your enemy.
Right.